T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here comes Tua.
Well, I just opened the window in this press box. I want to feel the greeting from my man Tua.
So with 2:27 left in the fourth quarter, the Dolphins up 24-0.
What?
The Tua Tagovailoa era begins. Tua under center, hands the football to Brea. And he gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about all.
I don't know, Joe. That was a really good handoff. Did you see that? That was great left-handed handoff.
And Tua out of the shotgun. And well, play action fake is going to go right and throw. It's complete on the far side to Patrick Laird. Threw it out of his end zone, running away from two defenders.
Nice to reach your first pass, isn't it?
Yep.
Tua shotgun again. Jets coming after him. Yeah, here they come. Gets it off, and it's caught by Grant at the 17-yard line. It's a third down conversion.
First one of the night for the Dolphins. It does feel good to see him in there.
I mean, I think he was happy to be out there. You know, it was nice to get a couple throws in, too. That was a cool moment for him. Just the reception, too, of the fans that were here. And everybody on the sideline, we're all excited to see him get out there.
Yeah, I feel healthy. I think it was a great play call by Chan to kind of get things going for me. It's an easy completion, but to just be out there with my teammates, that was awesome.
Ah, so much to cover.
Good weekend.
This song was the greatest troll job that I have ever seen a major network do. Adam Gase looked forlorn on the sidelines, as he should. And CBS was going to commercial break, you know, in the Dolphins Jets game. And they slowly are zooming in on Adam Gase's face. And These Eyes is playing. I mean, you know, and it's just the bumper into commercial break. So it's like for 10 seconds. But man, brilliant, genius, Adam Gase. What a doofus.
His offense is paint by numbers.
Crazy.
His offense is the worst thing I've seen in a long time with football. It's ridiculous.
That's his specialty.
That's what we heard.
That's his specialty. You're like that would be like me saying my specialty is paella. I don't know. I don't even know what's in paella.
rice and items, I think.
Rice and items. That's right. Mine would have rice and Cheez-Its, some goldfish crackers.
Topped off like, with cottage cheese. Yeah, I know like, what you like.
He's an expert in offense. That's all he focuses on.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he doesn't even worry about the defense because he's so good at the offense that anyone could handle the defense. Like, he has scored that Jets team 6 touchdowns in 6 games.
I'm not surprised by that, bro. Literally was laughing in the second half of the same thing over and over and over and over again. Terrible.
Staggering. Staggering. I will ask you this, though. Are the Dolphins good?
Yes.
They're good.
Yeah. Like, one thing with that game, I was saying, when you're playing a terrible team, remind them they're terrible early. Like, go out right there and let them know you're terrible. We're better than you. We're favored by 9.5. This is going to happen. And, bro, exactly what happened. They came out, score, 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 stop, stop, stop. That's what should happen when you play a terrible team. And to answer your question, a good team does that to a terrible team, and that's what happened yesterday.
Because that was my question, you know, coming out of the game. I try to go, okay, because San Francisco looked decent last night. So I go, you know what? That win in San Francisco, that's a good victory by the Dolphins. Everything was clicking. It was complete. Now you put up a shutout on the Jets, and you go, hey, maybe this team is good. And then you go, okay, but how bad is the opponent? Like, how bad are the Jets? But what you just said there makes a lot of sense. And you did say it the week leading up, where you have to exploit a lesser opponent's weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And you have to show a lesser opponent that they are a lesser opponent. And it's exactly what the Miami Dolphins did. So yeah, I would start to go, you know what? They're 500 after six games, right? Yeah, 500. Yeah. And I think their trajectory is being a good team. And to be quite honest, the way that New England looks and the Jets, obviously, you have a battle here between Buffalo and the Dolphins for supremacy of the AFC East, because I don't think it is decided right now by any stretch of the imagination. Buffalo plays tonight, don't they?
Yeah. They play
5 o'clock.
Game, yeah, with KC, yeah.
Oh, and that game's going to start while we're on the air. How cool
yes,
is
sir.
That?
Yes, sir. I don't have a TV. Y'all got to tell me what's going on.
But, yeah, I mean, Buffalo, they're playing Kansas City, so obviously that's a tough game. Buffalo could end up 4-2 after tonight. Dolphins at 3-3. I mean, things could be happening in the AFC East. But I enjoyed what I watched yesterday.
I was a little upset, and we all saw Chan Gailey and Brian Flores take the foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
They started cruising through the third and fourth quarter.
Yep.
They were winning and they were dominating, but they started running a lot. Miles Gaskins, I'm starting to turn on Gaskins
now. No,
Gaskins,
he's real.
He tote net rock. I won't lie to y'all, but like if it was anybody other than Gase, I would have been okay. But I wanted to put a 50 burger on Gase.
And they could have. They really could have. They scored 3 points in the second half. I mean, they really took the foot off the pedal. I'm with that. I'd love to see that where they just pound, pound, pound and keep doing what they're doing. But I'll take a 24-0 shutout over the Jets any day of the week. And like I say, I think we're watching a good team, which is pretty shocking after last season and the beginning of this season to say that we're watching a good Dolphins team.
Yeah, and that's surprising. The young guys are playing well. The free agents are playing well. You know what I'm saying? Like, what they did is working out with those, you know, giving Byron Jones all that money. And we just saw a team like the Jets, there's nobody open. There was no Flacco, Hawk, I would put you in the game if I was the Jets.
Bro, he was so disinterested in being there. Like, that dude, I mean, he's a Super Bowl champion. Now he's playing for the worst coach in the NFL, who's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, and even Joe Flacco looks as bad as he's ever looked. I mean, he was disinterested. I don't think he's got two things to say to Adam Gase. Like, they were impotent when it came to offense. And I can't get past the fact that that's his specialty. I can't get past it.
Your specialty,
give me an example.
Hawk, you hit it on the head. Your specialty being paella.
Right.
You had a great example a couple minutes ago. He does not know offense. He doesn't know anything. He knows how to say offense. That's about it. That's the extent of it.
I mean, it's insanity that guy is a head coach in the NFL for his fifth season now.
Only person I felt bad for was Frank Gore. Did you see when Gore came and gave Flores dap in like the third? Like, he was like, "What's up, coach, man?
Please, yeah, man, why'd you get rid of me? Please,
that's what it is. I know he'd have more yards than Jordan Howard. Frank would have done better than him. And
he
took
had a couple
money.
nice little runs there at the end. Yeah. I mean, just I don't understand how Adam Gase could address his team, right? So. You see your team every day, right? Are they on a bye, the Jets, or do they have a game coming up? Let me look at their schedule. But how could you possibly address the team? I mean, I guess it goes back to Cam Cameron, right? Like, how could he address the team? They've got the Bills this Sunday.
Yeah.
Bills and Jets this Sunday. Yeah. So how can Adam Gase address his team this week, being winless and really looking like he does not belong as a head coach in the NFL?
This is, it's going to sound funny, but I would say I've dealt with this because I was on the 07 Dolphins with Cam Cameron. Very short team meetings. Not going to lie, Hawk. If you see what I'm saying, like there's no, he doesn't want to be in front of the team that long. He wants to say, this is what he's going to say because Cam did it. Hey guys, tough loss. Let's move forward. Let's think about Buffalo. But all the team, Frank Gore we just talked about, Joe Flacco, those veteran guys that know about football, they're like, coach, we need a little more because this is embarrassing. You're embarrassing us on a weekly basis, coach. But he's going to have very short meetings and always say, let's move forward to Buffalo. And then when Buffalo bashes their mouth in, they have Kansas City the next week at Kansas City.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to Kansas City. And then New England. Let's go to New England. That's what terrible coaches do. They always want to move on. Yeah, coach, let's think about what happened other than let's move on. And that's what he's going to do. That's what Cam Cameron did.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how anyone on that team could have any respect for that dude. He is the laughingstock. He's turned that team into a laughingstock, but great for Dolphins fans. I'll take
Hawk,
that
I'll tell
all
you this.
Year long, man.
They are talking about him behind his back.
For sure, right? I mean, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, because we used to just laugh at Cam because it messed up because I was next to Joey Porter. So as soon as Cam could say, hey, fellas, and Porter would start hitting my knee with his knee. Oh, look at this. Look at this silly foolishness. Look at him. I'm like, Porter, he ain't even said nothing yet, bro. Are you already making fun of him? Oh, they're killing Gates behind his back.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to cover today. It was a good weekend for South Florida football. The Hurricanes won on Saturday. Dolphins won on Sunday. It's a Dolphins bye week, by the way. So on today's show, Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. He was at the Canes game. He was calling it for his touchdown radio. So we'll talk with him about his thoughts on the Canes game. Safid Dean covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. He became part of the Tua story yesterday. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick knew that Safid is a huge Tua fan. And so Safid is the story. We'll go right to him. Nat Moore, Dolphins legend, University of Florida legend. Nat Moore is going to join us today. We'll talk about his thoughts on the Dolphins 3-3 start this season. A ton of stuff to get to. Of course, we'll have a Dolphins question of the day. We would never go a day without doing the greatest benchmark in radio history, the Dolphins question of the day. And I guess we'll do headlines here with our own Alejandro Solana, the inventor of the Dolphins question of the day, the Dolphins QOTD, if you will.
Crowder, wait till you see the ratings book from over the weekend came out. Wait till you see how Friday's numbers were, guys. I'll read them to you later.
We're going to acronym this thing, fellas?
Oh, yeah. Dolphins QOTD. Yep.
Okay, I didn't get the memo. Okay, I'm down.
What happened with your football game? You had a big football game on Friday. You and your Saints, what's the heck? New Academy
Saints
against Tuan Russell.
St. Thomas Aquinas referees. That's who.
Whoa!
You
were complaining about the referees,
bro. I was sending y'all the breakdown of what happened. No one wanted an expansion team to go into Broward and beat a team that was on a 15-game winning streak. And I would say Jason Taylor, Tuan Russell, Roger Harriet, they guaranteed that we couldn't go up there and win.
What? The fix was in?
Oh, the
fix was in.
Bro, the first play of the game, the ref came over and told our team, we're not dealing with that today. I was like, dealing with what? It's three plays in.
Whoa,
well,
there has been aspersions cast in the first 12 minutes of today's program.
Broward County Athletic Association is a joke. I'll tell you that, because those are where the refs were from.
Listen to this. Jason Taylor, you have been called out.
I called him out yesterday on the pre. Me and we were arguing on the pregame. They had to rush us off the phone because we were getting after it. I asked JT, are you proud of that win? Because I wouldn't be. I'd have to pray after that
win. All right. We'll have Tuan Russell on this week then because I want to hear his explanation of it. And he's very, very godly. So
I
probably have to side with what he says.
We'll see what he deals with because if he says that was a good win, I don't know if he prays to the same God I do.
Wow. I mean, haymakers are being thrown. All right. What do you have for headlines, Solana?
These are your headlines from the Modelo Especial Sports Desk. Guys, the Miami Dolphins are 3-3, second in the AFC East. They've now outscored teams by 47 points this season, and they're tied with Pittsburgh for the fewest points allowed per game behind only the Baltimore Ravens.
How about Agba? That dude's showed out, tearing it up, man.
Maybe he should do a sizzling bacon celebration that I was giving somebody else because his little celebration.
Right.
Yeah,
Did Isaiah Ford have any catches or targets? Because I don't know if we're going to see the sizzling bacon. I think maybe we picked the wrong guy.
Solana, reach out to the Dolphin and say one Agba. I need somebody that's going to do sizzling bacon.
All right, we'll look for sizzling bacon.
We haven't even talked about it, but the Canes, they beat up on Pitt 31-19 on Saturday. They're now ranked 11th in the AP poll, up from 13. They play Virginia this Saturday, 8 p.m.
All right, very good.
And then tonight, Monday Night Football, we'll get to some more NFL scores later on in the show. 5 p.m., it's the Chiefs at the Bills. Kansas City, 5.5-point favorites. And then at 8:15, as scheduled on ESPN, it's the Cardinals at the Cowboys. Those are your headlines, sponsored by Modelo Especial, the perfect beer for your home tailgate. Modelo Especial, a beer brewed with the fighting spirit.
All right. He said that we didn't talk much Canes there, which we didn't, but Gino Toretta is going to join us in the next segment, the Heisman Trophy winner. We'll talk Canes with him. I want to talk about Gase with him, too. I just want to know just how you would sit there and listen to quarterback advice from somebody that, like, you know what I mean? Like, Joe Flacco has to sit there and listen to him. He has to.
Yes.
And you know that he can't learn it. The only thing that Adam Gase could do to Joe Flacco is make him worse.
Flacco knows that. Like he did Sam Darnold and like he did Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
And Flacco is not a dumb guy. He knows what happened to those two guys.
Yep. So, interesting. So, we could talk with Gino about that. So, Gino Toretta here momentarily.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Hawk and Crowder.
I do want to talk some Canes football with Gino Toretta here, but I also have that Adam Gase question, NFL stuff. So, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at the U, and he was at Hard Rock Stadium Saturday. He was on the call of the Pitt game for Touchdown Radio. And before we talk Canes, Gino, so I was talking with Crowder. Like, Adam Gase, he comes into a team meeting. You know, you played on college football teams, NFL teams. Adam Gase comes into a team meeting. He's obviously a boob. He's in over his head. They can't respect him at all. And then specifically, you're a quarterback, and you know you have to listen to this guy, but you know he can't help you, right? I mean, Joe Flacco has to be beside himself when Adam Gase is whispering something in his ear, because Joe Flacco knows 1,000 more things about quarterbacking than Gase ever will. Like, how do you keep it together as a player if you are playing for someone that you just don't respect?
I think I make sure I have a hat that's big enough to pull it down and cover my eyes just like he does.
Hide from you. You got to hide from
You ever
from
sat
it.
In a meeting, though, with a coach that you just like, I can't believe this guy is talking to us. Like, this guy,
well,
I have no respect for this guy.
Let me say this, and I'm not going to say who the coach is because you'll know who it was.
Well, so, I know it's not Dennis Erickson. Can't be Erickson.
No. My rookie year in Minnesota – Jim McMahon was the starting quarterback in Minnesota, and we had an offensive coach literally draw up a play like on the, you know, whatever, the old projector screen, you know, with the eraser markers, you know, you had a little school. That's how they're drawing up plays. And I swear I remember McMahon one day, we're in a meeting, he goes, what did this play work on your Sega last night in football? So I guess Flacco probably has enough experience to say that. You know what? It seems like there's a lot of problems with the Jets. When the defensive coordinator, who they're getting smoked, and, you know, listen, football, you know, people forget, like, for your defense to be halfway decent, your offense has to be halfway decent to keep the defense off the field, to give them a breath, maybe to score once or twice a game. You know, that's not asking too much. And for your defensive coordinator to just say, hey, all of our problems aren't defensively, and then they ask him about it, and he goes, I think you can figure out what I mean.
but I got, you know, from a quarterback perspective, because I'll say the name, Paul Pasqualoni, He used to call calls into us, and the whole defense would slash their throat like, no, terrible call, coach. No, let's move on, coach. Terrible call, coach. Like, you're the quarterback. Like, when you're on that side and offensively, when you're calling the plays, when you can adjust, like, from a quarterback perspective, and you know this play sucks, what do?
Change it at the line of scrimmage. And then, like Dennis Erickson would tell me, he goes, I don't care if you audible every play. Just make sure it works. You know, and
but you got to have the right personnel to do that.
You don't. I mean, you have to be taught the game. I don't think a lot of guys in college are taught the game to say, hey, if it's 3rd and 6, these are our best 3 plays. So no matter what offense I'm running and no matter who sends in the play, if I come to the line of scrimmage and go, all right, this play is not very good, I'm just going to audible at the line of scrimmage. I can make an excuse by the time I – if it doesn't work, I can make an excuse by the time I get to the sidelines. I can just say, hey, I thought I saw this safety coming down. I thought there was pressure. You know, there was a wheel was on the line of scrimmage. I think you would have got – you know, it's very easy, you know, but I think that you have to trust your quarterback, especially a guy like Flacco has played so many years. You don't think he's out there going, okay, these guys completely have this play outflanked. We're just going to change it at the line of scrimmage. There's no question in my mind that's happening. But, you know, some of these stories of some of these offenses, they're not even giving these guys the option to audible.
Right.
It's dumbfounding. Like to me, and Peyton Manning, you know, should get, you know, whatever, 10%, whatever the agent cut is on Gase, because that's Gase is living on his relationship with Peyton Manning off one season. Well, Tom Moore was in Minnesota and Detroit when I was there, who was Peyton's offensive coordinator in Indy for 15 years. I remember flat out asking, I broadcast one of their games. I'm like, man, you guys, I mean, they scored like 45. This was, you know, way back when offenses couldn't score. And he goes, that was 1950s football. If there was 2 safeties, we handed it off to Edge. If there was 1 safety, Peyton threw the ball. That was their game plan. It's not hard. You keep it simple, and, you know, you execute, you know, to where you have numbers, you're going to have success.
At some point, Peyton Manning has to call or text Gase and go, hey, just like you've done all right for yourself. Let's stop using
my name. Did you remove me from reference sources?
Yeah, exactly. How do we go about getting me taken off your Wikipedia page? I'm just curious. You've done all right.
Hey, you think Gase is already updating his resume? Hey, Peyton, I'm updating my resume. I'm going to have you down as one of my 3 contacts.
Right. And you may get a phone call from someone on Monster.com.
You need to go to the nationwide commercial, and you need to start one of those businesses in my Peytonville.
Unbelievable.
Gase needs to move to Peytonville and stop coaching because he's terrible, Gino.
Oh, my God. Gino Toretta is with us, Heisman Trophy winner. So, for Hurricanes fans, look, after 5 games, the Canes are 4-1. The only loss is to Clemson. You can't really complain about that, no?
Well, I think you can complain based on the Clemson performance. I mean, I think that you wanted to be a lot more competitive. I mean, they're 4-1, which is good. I thought there was a lot of they left a lot of plays out there offensively against Pitt last week, and Pitt was without their starting quarterback, who's kind of the glue of their team, and the guy started 32 games before the Miami game. So I think they were really hamstrung. I mean, I don't know how much you get to see, watching the TV of the game, or even if you get the ACC sub network package that it was on TV. But the quarterback for Pitt, Channing, ran to the sidelines in between every play to get the play call. That's how not prepared having a backup quarterback. The guy didn't even know the signals. He was running to the sidelines, getting the plays every play. It was amazing. He had to run 10 miles by the end of the game.
Well, on the other side, though, Gino, because we were questioning that, where we've seen in the past, even that Mark Richt year, when y'all beat, what was it, Notre Dame at Hard Rock Stadium, and then, you know, saying number 2 in the nation, and then you lose, and then you go on a 4-game losing streak. Was it inspiring to see a loss like you saw in Clemson, and then a bounce back, and really, I'll be honest, a dominant performance over Pitt, even with their problems, even with all that, they were still 3-1 coming into the game, and you went in there and dominated them. Was that encouraging to see there was no lag after that Clemson loss?
What's encouraging is in the past it seemed like one loss has turned into four, and that you know, Channing, you've been on enough teams where you've played against teams where you're like, man, this team's really good when you play them. Tough, hard-fought game, and somehow, you know, your team beats the other team, and they go in the toilet after, and you're like, damn, I thought that team was a lot better when we played them. You know, and I think that was the good thing for Miami is they didn't let one loss just carry over into their game against Pitt. But I thought there was enough coaching, you know, issues in the game that you know, they need to keep improving. I mean, they can't rest on 4-1 and just think, hey, well, our only loss was to the best team in the country, so we're okay.
What was a great thing? A great thing you see about the Hurricanes right now, and what is a really poor thing you see about the Hurricanes right now?
I thought the defensive front was very good against Pitt. I thought Headley, the punter, hit some bombs, absolute bombs on special teams. I thought, you know, what needs most improvement is, you know, I don't know if it's routes. There was a lot of, you know, just behind the line of scrimmage passing game, you know, not drop back, throw a 10-yard curl route or a 12-yard out or a 15-yard comeback, throwing the ball down the field, you know, receivers, you know, creating separation from defensive backs and Derek having enough time, because I think there was a lot of times he was dropping back looking downfield and he was getting pressured pretty quick. So, you know, I think they got to work on the passing game more of, you know, 10-yard routes and plus.
Gino Toretta. So Canes have UVA next, and they're not very good. I think the Canes right now, they opened at a 10 or 11-point favorite for Saturday night. So at this juncture, they're 4-1. Hopefully they go to 5-1 after Saturday night. Are the Canes ahead of schedule, on schedule, behind schedule? Like, where do you think they are right now?
I think they're on schedule. I think they'd be, you know, happy to be 4-1 and the only loss to Clemson. I think that, you know, it's funny you say, well, Virginia's not very good. I mean, listen, we didn't think Florida State is terrible. I saw them in person twice against Miami, against Georgia Tech, and they beat North Carolina. So
yeah, how'd that
I don't
happen?
Know this season, I don't think – like our estimation and just for friendly purposes, when you're giving me the betting lines, there's no way in hell I'd be coming anywhere near a game this year, because I just, it's like, wait a sec, Auburn lost to South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina was talking about firing Will Muschamp last week. You know, so,
I mean, we had our way with FSU. Just had our way with them. And then North Carolina can't do anything.
In North Carolina, listen, they had three guys that dropped the ball. I mean, just right in their hands at the end of the last drive. At least North Carolina would have had a chance to kick a field goal and win the game. And their wideouts did not step up for their young quarterback. But, yeah, I was just absolutely shocked that, you know, they did. But, you know, when the quarterback throws a pick six to a defensive end, usually that team usually gets the interception for a touchdown, wins the game. So, you know, I think they're where they're at, you know, 4-1, lost to Clemson, but still need to continue to improve, get more efficient in the offensive game, and obviously continue to get better and pressure, you know, the other team's offense with their D.
Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner. Hurricanes are 4-1 and have UVA on Saturday. Thank you for making time for us, Gino. Always enjoy it.
All right, guys.
There you go. Gino Toretta. All right, let's take a break here. It's a celebratory Monday. Canes and Dolphins win. How often does that happen? I feel like it's going to start to happen more often than not.
Yes,
but
sir.
Celebratory Monday. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
Coming up next on the Hock and Crowder Show.
Back in my day, we'd go to the Orange Bowl. Urine would drip on us and we were healthy.
Hock and Crowder.
We played earlier, Safid Dean. He got called out, trolled. How would you characterize it? Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, very aware that Safid Dean loves Tua Tagovailoa and has. And so yesterday after the game, Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing his press conference via Zoom, And Safeddine, it's his turn to ask a question. And Fitzpatrick figures it's just going to be a Tua question. It's not, but Fitzpatrick won't let it go either. Here's how it sounded on the Zoom call.
The Tua question, Safed. Bring it.
No, I wasn't going to bring the Tua question, man. You got the Tua question already.
That's your boy toy, man.
All right, so I know Omar. Here, man.
I know Omar
What's the second half of the season do with you, man? What do you guys do with the second half of the season now? You after your 500, Tua's on the board here. I mean, you know, how do you guys kind of move forward here with everything kind of going on?
How do you think he looked in his uniform, Safed? The all white, you like that? Number one, the one was slim. You like that? usually you can't tell if people are laughing on Zoom, but I can see Omar.
Excellent moment yesterday. So Ryan Fitzpatrick having fun. And let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Safeddine covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. You can read his work at sunsentinel.com or download the Sun Sentinel app. And what did you think of your boy toy?
Did you see him out there, man?
Oh, best handoff. Wait, Solana, tell him what you told us, Solana.
Well, did you see his shoulder blades, their position when he was handing the ball off? I mean, just textbook. You can't ask for better shoulder blade positioning on a handoff, Safed.
Oh, perfect angle. The left arm stretched out, the hips perfectly pointed and turned backwards, running away from all kind of contact, running into the back of the end zone. Did you see those passes, man? That first pass might have been the greatest pass in Miami Dolphins history. And then you know what he did? He threw a 7-yard pass in the next one. First pass was 2-yard out. Second pass was 7 yards. First down. That was the Dolphins' first down of the game. Did you know that? My boy Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't do that.
I would say this, because Crowder was asking at the beginning of the show, he's like, did you think it was that big a deal? And I'm like, I did, because there was always this little hanging something, when is Tua going to be in the game? And I'd much rather have him come in that situation than come in because Fitzy has thrown 4 interceptions and they need a spark and whatever. Like, I thought it was very relaxed. I thought it was fun. I thought he got to do it, obviously, in front of his home crowd. Fitzpatrick was amping the crowd up as Tua went in there. Like, I thought it was handled nicely by Brian Flores. Did you?
Yeah. I thought, you know, all of the above, what you said there, Hawk. I think being at home was very, very important. I think the Dolphins could have put Tua in last week in San Francisco and that blowout win. And putting Tua on, you know, putting him in the game on the road for his first time, you know, that's probably not great. Would it say well with Dolphins fans? I'm sure they would have loved to see him in Hard Rock Stadium, which they did on Sunday. But also, you know, the opportunities didn't really land in the first couple games of the season either, too. So this was a good opportunity to kind of get him in front of the home crowd. And also right before the bye week, I think we all would have been talking about this bye. You know, when are we going to see Tua? When are we going to see Tua? And now, you know, it finally happened. You know, he was there for all of 5 plays, but it was probably the most exciting 5 plays of the last 2 seasons for the Dolphins, that's for sure. Just because you finally see the fruition of this entire rebuilding process of what Brian Flores and general manager Chris Greer and owner Steve Ross, what they've trying to, you know, do here in the last couple of years. You finally got to see, you know, a bit of it come to fruition with 2 on the field.
And Safed, I got to ask you, is that normal, man? Like, that relationship with the coaches and players where Fitzy said your name, like, Safed, you like that, don't you? Yeah, I know what question you're going to ask. Like, is that a normal thing? Because I was a part of it for years, and now I've been on the media side for 10 years. I've never heard of something like that happened to you. When I saw it on Twitter after the game, it made me smile.
Yeah, man, it's pretty cool. It's fun to, you know, to get to know the players and the coaches. It's fun for them to kind of get to know us and rib us, you know, just how you saw Ryan Fitzpatrick floor me after the game there. But I took it all in all good fun, man. That was a classic moment. It was really great. I really feel bad because I couldn't hear Fitz completely, you know, all the way when he was going off on that. You know, when he talked about the uniform, the second part, and I was like hanging on for the question. I couldn't hear for dear life because I have, you know, Adam Beasley next to me laughing at the top of his lungs. And then I see Omar on the Zoom camera, and his dreads are shaking back and forth. He's losing his mind. and Fitz is laughing at Omar and Adam laughing at me too. Everybody having, you know, fun at my expense. You know, it was a really cool moment, man. You know, it's cool to see, you know, everybody kind of taking things lightheartedly after all this. And yeah, man, it was a great moment, dude. It was a great moment. I'm glad everybody else was finally got to see Tua on the field. Even just for five plays, three incredible handoffs, two great passes in history.
You locking in, huh, Sava? You locking in.
Yeah, ride it all the way. Well, you remember, I don't think I need to remind Safid, but maybe you, Crowder, remember last season, Safid was at a Brian Flores press conference, and he got called out by Flores for all the wrong reasons. Remember, Flores was blowing smoke out of his ears at Safid. I forget what it was about, but I remember that.
I remember jumping on the show, too, so you could rub it in my face, too, man, like doing things, you know?
We appreciate it. Positive, negative, baby. You're always welcome.
We're always here for you. Anytime Safedine inserts himself into the Dolphin story, we are here to follow up, as any good media outlet would. I started the show today by asking Crowder, are the Dolphins good? It's a fairly simple question, but it's a pretty important question. So I'll ask it to you. Are the Dolphins good?
You know, I still want to see some more. I definitely want to see some more. I think the last 2 weeks were, you know, obviously big wins. You know, they won three out of the last four. The San Fran game, like I told you guys last week, that was probably the most well-rounded game of the Brian Flores era. Just because of how ferocious they were on offense. You had three or four touchdown drives by Fitz and then five field goals. And then you beat the Jets here, you know, 24-0. I mean, there was a lot of possessions in that game. The Dolphins definitely had a lot of punts. You know, Jason Sanders only had one field goal compared to five the last 2 weeks. They got their work done early in that first half, three touchdowns, 21, and they only put up 3 points in the second half. And, I mean, you know, if the Jets had any kind of pulse, you know, that probably would have been a more challenging game for the Dolphins, too. But, hey, look, they're 3-3. They're 500 for the first time under Brian Flores. You know, two more wins are going to match last season's total. And you got 10 games left. You have probably the 10th, you know, easiest strength of schedule coming up here. You know, granted, you got some tough matchups. Patrick Mahomes coming here, you know, later on in the season. You got to go out west to play in Arizona and Denver and Las Vegas. You know, those are all tough trips, tough games to play. You know, so I'm interested to see how this season does unfold here. The Dolphins, the scoring defense, I mean, look, they're top three in the league. Teams are scoring less than 20 points per game. The shutout against the Jets definitely helped that figure. They're still giving up a lot of yards, you know, and that's probably the case from the first 4 weeks of the season too. And the offense is clicking. When it does click, it looks great. And when it has the hiccups, it doesn't look great at all, but they're still being able to pull out these wins. So I still want to see some more. I'm not sure if they're good yet. What I see is a sign of a team that's improving, that's gelling together 6 weeks into the season. I personally think the bye week, you know, because of the rescheduling that happened, probably came at a bad time. I think this team wants to keep playing, wants to keep rolling, figuring it out, maybe get the bye later this season. But look, the Dolphins have a 10-game stretch here. They're second in the AFC East. You got to play Buffalo at the end of the season. That could be a big game. But the Dolphins, they might be in playoff contention this year, you know, if they put it together and they get some wins here down the stretch. So we'll see.
And Safed, one thing I saw, and you let me know your opinion on it, but I felt as if the Dolphins pulled their foot off the gas in the second half, run on first down, run on second down, just try to get third down. I was watching the offense where the Jets offense was paid by numbers. They shut them down easily. But do you agree with, in my assessment, I'll tell you this. I think the Dolphins pulled their foot off the gas and didn't beat them by 50. Do you agree with that that assessment? And do you think the Dolphins should have put some more points up? Because I think they could have.
Yeah, I definitely think so too, Crowder. I think, you know, there was, I think, probably 7 or 8 punts in that game. You know, Jason Sanders had only one field goal, like I said. You know, and only 24 points compared to what, 40-something points he scored last week against San Francisco. Against one of the worst teams in the league, against a team with the worst record in the league, they probably should have put some more points up on the board. That would have been a little bit more encouraging, too. But look, man, the Jets don't have a pulse, dude. Those guys got on the field, and they couldn't wait for the game to get, you know, to be over with on Sunday night so they can fly back home to New York, man. You know, if the Dolphins were playing a tougher team, I don't think they would have pulled out that game on Sunday with their performance. But look, you beat the person in front of you. You play up to the competition in front of you, and that's what the Dolphins have done, you know, through the first 6 weeks. You know, they did take their foot off the gas, but a little bit too, but I think and obviously Tua coming in at the end of the game probably made it the most exciting thing coming out. I think I don't know how exciting it could have been after that game. The final 2 minutes is probably the best part and the most memorable part of what we're all talking about here today. So, yeah, it's a tough stretch for the Dolphins rest of the season. We'll see if Tua, you know, finally gets a start. We'll see if he gets back in and gets some more playing time here. But the Dolphins are in good shape here in the first half.
Safid Dean from the Sun Sentinel. The bye week now. Is this a good time or a bad time for the bye week? Because they're kind of rolling right now.
Yeah, definitely a bad time. Definitely a bad time.
It is, right. And this wasn't supposed to be the bye week, was it?
No, it was supposed to be till I think, week 10 or 11. Yeah. We're at week 7. So, you know, you wanted to see this team kind of continue to kind of build on its performances. I think after, even from week 2, the Buffalo game, the Jacksonville game, Seattle, you're moving down the field and only kicking field goals, can't get the touchdowns. San Fran, you're getting touchdowns and field goals. And then, you know, you beat the Jets out here on Sunday. You want to see what this team can keep doing, rolling at the right time. They took advantage of Jimmy Garoppolo. He was, you know, coming back from an injury. They bounced him from the first half of that game. Joe Flacco was the quarterback here, you know, against the Jets. And like we mentioned, too, you know, these guys are sleepwalking on the field, too. So I want to see how they play against tougher competition. I want to see how they play against teams against full, at full strength. Like they saw the Patriots, like they saw the Bills, like they saw the Seahawks earlier this season. Those are the type of games, playing in games late, being in games in the fourth quarter. Ryan Fitzpatrick showing up and winning time, the defense showing up and winning time. Those are all things that I want to see in the final stretch of the season here for the Dolphins.
And Safid, I retweeted a Photoshop of you becoming Tua.
Oh, my God, I just saw it. So our guy Wilson listens to this show. You look great, man. You look great.
You look good, Safid, so check it out. But quickly on the way out, man, Hawk asked me this question earlier, and I had to tell him.
You just saw it? You just saw it.
That's the most hair I've had in 15 years, man.
that nice hot top. That's a house party hot top. You set, bro. But, bro, quickly, Safid, Myles Gaskin, I'm coming around on him. After the Le'Veon Bell, I don't know if that encouraged me thinking Le'Veon could be on this team, but what I saw out of Myles and questioning should he be starting over Breida and Jordan Howard, are you coming around on Gaskin? Is he a top – should he be a starting running back in this league after you've seen? Now we're 6 games in. Are you all in on Myles Gaskin?
I don't know if I'm all in on Myles Gaskin, but he's definitely proven himself, and he's done a really great job with his opportunities here. I mean, he's running really, really hard, man. And, you know, he's the smallest guy on the field, but he's running really hard. He's breaking tackles. He's taking on contact. He's not shying away from it. He's running on the inside. You know, some guys like to bounce on the outside, don't like to get caught up in the mix there. He has no problem doing that, too. And he's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield as well. And look, man, Myles Gaskin was a 7th-round pick for the Dolphins. We know this Dolphins team, they didn't get a running back in the draft. They really wanted to around the 2nd and 3rd rounds. You're talking, you know, and look at how many running backs went in the draft. We're talking about, you know, Clyde Edwards. We're talking about J.K. Dobbins, Zach Moss. It was a really great running back class that the Dolphins missed out on. And also the free agents, too. You know, you miss out on Le'Veon Bell. There was a couple of other guys, Melvin Gordon. The Dolphins clearly show they don't want to pay big money for a running back, and they don't want to draft one early. And so Myles Gaskin has to be the player to show that the Dolphins know what they're doing from an evaluation standpoint, from a player personnel standpoint. I would say the same thing for Preston Williams, too. He got a touchdown, you know, 2 touchdowns back-to-back weeks. Dolphins have done the same thing there, haven't picked up receivers in the draft. So those are 2 players that are really big here for this rebuilding process, Gaskin and Preston Williams, how they perform. Because the Dolphins are not using their resources on high-value draft picks at those positions. Those guys are playing well. They're paying off right now at the moment. And we'll see how they continue going on as the season unfolds.
Tua Safid Vailoa, as I have just retweeted that picture.
I like it.
Tua Safid Vailoa. You could read his work at the Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Download the Sun Sentinel app. You want great Dolphins coverage, make sure you subscribe to the sunsentinel.com digitally so you can keep getting great work from Safid and Omar Kelly and Dave Hyde and the rest of our friends. So thank you for making time for us, Tua Safid Vailoa.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Safid Dean from the Sun Sentinel, always inserting himself right into the story.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Bloomin' Onion. Now that rhymes.
Hawk and Crowder.
without further ado, I find it important. I want to start the 4 o'clock hour with the Dolphins question of the day. The Dolphins QOTD. This has been a huge failure in the show, and we are going to force feed it down your throat every day until they fire us. So go ahead and give us the big open.
What are we doing?
Guys, the Miami Dolphins are 3-3. First time in Brian Flores' career that they're at 500 as a head coach. My question to you, the Miami Dolphins are officially in the hunt.
That's another Miami Dolphins question of the day.
It wasn't a question.
It wasn't.
Huh?
It wasn't a question.
You just blurted out a statement. The Dolphins are in the hunt.
Do I got to play the imaging again for you, or?
I don't know what to do with it. I don't. It sounded much better this time, right, Crowder? With the music, yes. As he's given the question, which wasn't a question, and then the open can't, like, it sounded technically a lot better. I feel like we're the Dolphins. We're starting to click a little bit. Except you threw a pass play when we guaranteed a run. Like, I don't. What's the question?
The Miami Dolphins are in the hunt.
You can't just say hunt loud and make it a question. That's not question form.
Is it true or false? Is it a true or false question?
Correct.
Okay, true. I'll go with true. How about you, Crowder?
True. That's what we're doing? Yes, true.
There you go. That is your Miami Dolphins question of the day.
Quickly, let me slide it in. We have to win the AFC East because we're not getting a wild card with what the Raiders are doing and what the Ravens, Steelers are doing, the Browns. Like, there's a lot of teams that have better records. So, yes, we can win the AFC East, but I don't think we'll get a wild card if we don't.
And I do think they can win the AFC East. I really do. I think I love watching the New England Patriots, that magic that Bill Belichick had. Remember, and even the first couple of weeks, it was against the Dolphins week one, and then we were like, oh my God, he pulled magic out of the hat again. He got Cam Newton. In the meantime, you know, fast forward into week six, they've got a COVID test, you know, positive every other day. They're barely practicing. Their facility's closed. They're losing games. Like, yeah, the magic ran out. And then Tom Brady did whatever he wanted to do yesterday against Green Bay. Like, I enjoy watching New England run out of magic, if you will.
The last time the Patriots were 2-3 was like Tom Brady's second year, and they did not make the playoffs. So if the future holds up, they will not make the playoffs, and the Dolphins have to catch the Buffalo Bills. We knew when Brady left New England, Hawk, there was going to be a change of power. There had to be a transition of power. Let's see if the Dolphins can get that power
over
the Bills.
Take that power. Take that power, Dolphins.
I like that, Hawk. Don't get it. Take it. I like the way you think.
Take it.
The power.
Good question of the day today, Solana.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm telling you, like, if you're listening to this show and you don't have a bottle of Fabuloso somewhere in one of your cabinets, oh, we don't need you.
Hawk and Crowder.
I have to read you Manish Mehta, what he wrote in the New York Daily News. We had him on last week talk about the Jets. You know, he's a big Adam Gase detractor. Here's some of what Manish Mehta wrote today in the New York Daily News about Adam Gase and the Jets. The laughter has reached the point of no return when your face starts hurting because the knee-slapping hilarity just won't stop. The Jets are much worse than just a bad football team now. They're a laughingstock careening towards historic ineptitude. Giving Adam Gase his walking papers won't be an elixir, but it's a common sense first step towards shedding this franchise's punchline status. Otherwise, the chuckles will sound like a bass drum. Gase wakes up Monday as the head coach of the only winless team in the NFL through 6 weeks. A sad, desperate salesman quickly running out of suckers that will buy his pitch. Gangrene's latest blooper reel, a 24-0 wire-to-wire loss to the Dolphins on Sunday, was no more painful to watch than the first five defeats. It followed a familiar script littered with poor play calling, nonsensical decision making, and awful execution. There's an art to being this terrible. The Jets' average margin of defeat in their six games, 18.3 points. We haven't done anything well this year at all, Captain Obvious said as he fell to 30-41 as an NFL head coach. We hurt ourselves so much. Gase, who is now 9-27 on the road, has become a master of losing with his special brew of brutal play. The Jets fell to 0-6 for only the second time in their 61-year existence and first since a bespectacled, balding chap who went by the name of Rich Kotite led the charge for a 1-15 squad 24 years ago. Gase capped a week when he supposedly pondered relinquishing play-calling duties by getting undressed by the team that fired him less than 2 years ago. The Dolphins, set free after being held captive by this charlatan, looked revived and rejuvenated with a real leader of men guiding them. Isn't that a great sentence?
Damn.
The Dolphins, set free after being held captive by this charlatan, is a really great line.
Yes.
Gase, who left Hard Rock Stadium a loser for the second consecutive season, has more double-digit losses, 32, than total wins as a head coach. He's lost 26 games by at least two touchdowns and 20 games by at least 18 points. His offense has scored a grand total of six touchdowns in six games. By every objective measure, he is the clear-cut worst offensive mind in all the land. The Jets averaged 2.9 yards per play as they fell behind 21-0 by halftime. They went 0-for-12 on third downs before some garbage time stat padding bumped it up to 2-for-17. They managed 106 net yards with less than 4 minutes to go in the third quarter before the Dolphins started making dinner reservations and gave them some courtesy yardage in the fourth quarter. I didn't think it was lifeless, Gase said. Offensively, we were frustrated. You think? Writes Manish Mehta. Gase's offense, which was circling the drain in nearly every statistical category entering the game, went 3 and out in 6 of their first 9 drives. Flacco mixed in an interception, and Braden Mann added 2 of his 10 punts during that stretch. Pro tip, it's never good when your punter walks on the field 10 times. Oh, and Flacco took a 28-yard sack, too. Greg Williams' defense held Ryan Fitzpatrick and company to just 3 points in the second half, but the damage was done before intermission. The Jets couldn't stop Myles Gaskin on the ground and fell apart in the red zone to help dig a 3-touchdown hole that they didn't come close to climbing out of. Along the way, Gase exhibited unofficially reason number 1 trillion why he has little clue how to manage a game. For some unknown reason, Gase trotted out kicker Sam Fricken to try a career-long 55-yard field goal with a minute remaining in the third quarter while his team was trailing 24-0. Evidently, Gase didn't have a calculator or pen and paper handy. Otherwise, he would have figured out that his team would still be trailing by 3 scores, even if Fricken made the moonshot field goal. He missed it, in case you were wondering. And it goes on and on. I mean, he torches him. And
he didn't just miss it. He didn't even get close.
I know. He torches them. He ends it with, the next time Gase sets the right example might very well be the first. In a week that began with cutting Le'Veon Bell and ended with trading respected leader Steve McClendon to the Buccaneers after the game, there are few folks in the organization that respect this head coach. He's a dead man walking, hoping for relief that isn't coming. It makes sense to put him out of his misery and quiet some of the laughter. Harsh but true.
It is. And, man, it's different with Gase, man. Like, I'll tell you that, you know, be honest, Bill Belichick got fired from the Browns back when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bruce Arians got fired. Pete Carroll, he's been fired. Like, this is coaching. Like, coaches get fired. Coaches don't figure it out young or whatever it is. The variables, the quarterback, their roster, they don't figure it out. I will say this with 100% confidence. I don't give a damn what you give Adam Gase. He is not going to be a good coach. He can coach Peyton Manning, if Peyton Manning checks off of everything. But, like, right. Give Adam Gase the keys to something. Bro, this dude is crazy. And I won't even say we, Hawk. I won't put you in this because I don't want to throw you in this pot. I defended Adam Gase for about a year and a half when he was with the Dolphins, and then I smartened up. This dude is terrible at his job.
He's not only a bad on-field football coach, he's just not a good leader of men. And that's the problem. And that's what happened with you and Cam Cameron. Like, Cam Cameron was obviously a very good offensive mind, or it seemed like, but he was not a leader of men. You knew that. I think a lot of the Dolphins and certainly the Jets now realize he's not a good leader of men. He's constantly, Manish Mehta writes it all the time. He's constantly throwing people under the bus. His management style is just weird.
And it's funny. And a lot of people, we'll go big picture here because we've picked on Gase. And I'm going to put Gase in it. I'm not going to let him off the hook. But we're going to talk, between me and you, where I would say more people can't communicate than can communicate in this world. Like, I think less people know how to talk to another human being and find a mid-ground than people that do know how to talk and find a mid-ground.
Agreed.
But being a head coach of an NFL team, I think that has to be in your repertoire.
Yep.
You're talking to millionaire men. You're talking to coordinators. You're talking to linebacker coaches, DB coaches, D coordinators, offensive coordinators. I think communication has to be a mainstay in those good coaches. And I do believe I know that Belichick knows how to communicate. I personally know Andy Reid, guys that even recruited me and or thought about drafting me, I would say, not recruiting me. Like, I've communicated with even like a Mike Tice. Mike Tice was a great communicator, and he wasn't a great head coach, but I loved sitting down and talking to Mike Tice, which is a random-ass name.
Right.
But Gase does not have that, man. Gase does not know how to – remember when Rashad Jones didn't play in the second half of a game?
Yes.
And he didn't even know that he wasn't playing. Like,
right.
How,
never walked over to check with his defensive coordinator. Never, like, just did, like, a bizarre. He's a very bad coach. He's a very bad head coach.
And a very bad communicator. And I think that's his main problem is that he doesn't know how to talk to people. How can you talk to an organization? And as a head coach, you have to talk to the OC, the DC, the assistants, the quarterback, the middle linebacker, and you could go all the way down the list that you have to be able to communicate with. It's only really, to be honest, guys, there's 22 guys on the defense and offense and about six coaches on both sides of the ball. So 22 plus 12, what's that, 34? 34 humans.
No idea.
You're mad. That's terrible. 34 humans that you have to be able to communicate with, and Gase can't get that done. There's a lot of people that could get that done, and Gase can't get it done. Bro, I don't know how Gase tricked these people for so long,
amazing.
But I hope one day, Hawk, I hope one day that we can Adam Gase. Let the Hawkman and Crowder show Adam Gase somebody.
For
and
real.
We need to get 5 years of something crazy with millions of dollars involved
for
and
real.
Then just trick them. And me and you will call each other every night and be like, bro, how long are we going to ride this train?
How are we doing this? I feel that way about this entire job, but it's been a long while.
How long are we going to ride this train, Hawk? How long are we going to trick these people? Because Gase been tricking people for years.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Drop your draw.
Hawk and Crowder.
I've got drawn butter inside my DNA.
the sad or glorious thing, I don't know which way to go. Is
I think it's
I
glorious.
You're 100% correct. You want to go with glorious? You'll put some melted
glorious.
Butter on anything.
Ooh, Buffalo just scored a touchdown. 5 o'clock hour is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. It is now 10-7 Buffalo Bills over KC. It's 9-7, but Buffalo point after try pending. But they just drove downfield, as did Kansas City the drive before that. It's funny. So Gino Toretta was on. Then at the end of the interview, I asked him about who's the best team in the NFL, Clemson or Alabama. Let's see if this is actually a touchdown. Wow, what a catch. Unbelievable. Who's better, Alabama or Clemson? So some guy texted in, Gino hates Alabama. They kicked his ass times 10. He's a hater of the team that took his dreams away, just like a little bitch. see all your dreams go down the drain. So I text him back. I go, yeah, Heisman Trophy and a couple of national championships. They really stole his soul. So the guy texted back, Hawk, he never won a national championship. George Teague took it and the defense. So I texted back, he won the national championship in 89 and 91. And then he texted back, oh, my bad, he can talk now. LOL, Roll Tide.
It's when y'all hear me on the slow argument when y'all are talking with Gino about Canes, because right. Hawk, I can't argue what he did, bro, is success in its finest.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy, couple national championships.
I would tell you, Texter, I love your passion, but you got to do a little more research.
Because, yeah, no, I'm all Gino's about it. Not trash talk all you want, but yeah
Gino's not the guy to go at. Let's go at Brock Berlin. We can go at Brock now.
Gino is decorated, highly decorated. All right, so KC and Buffalo playing right now. Look at the text from Dr. Chuck on our gambling thread. He's not happy with our KC -5.5 bet right now.
And if we tweeted out our gambling thread, everybody would think we're lunatics. So please, let's just leave it between us five, okay?
We'll keep it private. All right. So, and then you got Dallas and Arizona coming up as the regular Monday Night Football game tonight. Everybody was excellent today. Yeah. Had Gino Toretta there, Safid Dean, and Nat Moore from the Miami Dolphins, and a fun celebratory Monday, as I said. Canes and Dolphins win. I'm all good. So, Dolphins, this is a bye week, and the Canes have UVA on Saturday. Tomorrow, we'll have the Don Bailey Jr. calls, Solana?
We will.
All right, so DBJ's calls from Saturday. We'll have those tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Talk About It Tuesday. Twan Russell is going to join us tomorrow. A little trash talking coming between the very godly Twan Russell and the not so godly Channing Crowder as they each rep their high school football team. You heard me? Stand with my cane, just the way Nat Moore stood with you.
I'm baptized. I don't know if you knew. I've been baptized, Hawk. So
that's it?
Just keep it straight. Yeah, man, I got my head dumped under that.
You know what? Twan gets baptized every week. So what do you think about that?
He didn't get baptized Friday because I know he knew what happened on Friday night. But we'll get into it tomorrow.
You got baptized Friday night. You got baptized.
Oh, so what? I see. You're not a saint.
I am not. What's coming up at 6 o'clock on 790, the ticket, Solana?
On 790, we're actually going directly into this Monday Night Football game, Chiefs-Bills action.
All right, very cool. So it's 10-7 Buffalo right now, leading Kansas City. Buffalo kicking off after their touchdown. And on 560?
We got Best of the Joe with Dan Day.
All right, 560 the Joe Rewind coming up on 560 WQAM the Joe.
Maybe
all right,
not.
That'll do it for us.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Oh, South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein.
Why don't you check before I ask you? And then why do you give an answer if you don't know?
It was a pretty good guess, I think.
No, it wasn't. Like, I could have made it up as well, is my point. Like, I literally didn't know, so I asked you what's coming up. I could have just made something up, too.
It was a pretty good guess, I think, though.
But you're either right or wrong, and you were wrong. So how's it a good guess?
I was wrong. You're correct. But South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein, my guy, my dude, coming up.
Solani, you are my 9-year-old.
I
swear to goodness, I just see so much of him in you.
It's just like, why say what's coming up if you don't know? Oh, I don't know. Let me ask Dan Day. I mean, I don't even understand that. And then it was a good guess, you're either right or wrong. You're wrong. How is it a good guess?
I was 1-for-2 there, though, because I had 790 correct. And it's hard to keep up with two station schedules. It's very hard.
Right, but you don't have to make up an answer with my point.
Lil Chan, you have homework this week? Yeah, I have something in English, not math, though. Yeah, a little something. He doesn't know what's going on.
It is. It is. All right. Yeah. Thanks, DJ. Real good, David. It's like talking to my kid.
We have sons, so it makes it easy for us to deal with Solana having sons.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I get to work, and it's still, I still have to parent. All right. You just ruined the whole day, Solana.
I disagree. I think we had a fun day.
And we did, up until you ruined it. Next time, I'm just going to ask Dan. I'm not even going to ask you anymore. All right. That'll do it for us. So what's coming up on 560?
I think best of the Joe with
thanks.
With
Dan. Thanks, Hawk.
First of all, it's not even called Best of the Joe anymore. It hasn't been called that for weeks. It's called 560 The Joe Rewind. So he was even wrong on his guess. Even if he was right, the name was wrong. So just a disaster.
Hey,
just
Lil
a total
Chan,
disaster.
Do you have math homework? I'm gonna start calling you Lil Chan, Solana.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great and safe night, and we will speak with you mañana.
Was Tua time glorious?
I've got drawn butter inside my DNA.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need to need, 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 need.
That's all, folks.
You need to need, need, need.
Oh, no.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.